The U.S. is helping to surveil northeastern Nigeria, but here in the U.S., revelations about the NSA's vast surveillance operations have sparked outrage and calls for change to rein the NSA in. But what about in Britain? British surveillance agencies work closely with the NSA, so what are they saying about all this in London? Timothy Egger knows. He was just in London talking to members of parliament there about surveillance. Egger is President Obama's former top guy on cybersecurity and civil liberties. He's now a visiting fellow at Brown University's Watson Institute. And he says he was surprised by what he didn't hear from lawmakers in London.
Well, it's really remarkable how little has been going on over there. You know, I had the impression that I was going to learn about all their reform and surveillance transparency efforts like we've been having in the United States. But really, the complaint was that very little has happened, despite the fact that The Guardian has been very much a leading newspaper on these issues. And despite the fact that the GCHQ, which is their equivalent of the NSA, works extremely closely with the NSA, and many of the same concerns around surveillance certainly would be present in their activities.
So take us into the room with these MPs over in London. How did they respond to your position that we need rules and reform for spying? And did they say why this hasn't been happening over there?
Yes. Well, we had three MPs, one from each of the three major parties. We had a Liberal Democrat, a Labour Party member, and a Conservative. They had all been supporters of greater efforts to oversee the intelligence services, and they all had slightly different reasons for doing so. So I think they were very curious to hear about what we'd been doing in the United States, and they had been urging essentially the UK government to be doing more over there.
Now, you say, Timothy, that reform and transparency efforts are happening here in the U.S. I mean, aside, though, from a lively debate about privacy, what has been done exactly here to safeguard Americans' privacy?
Well, of course, we've had the president has given a major address in January and outlined significant reforms in a presidential directive, has proposed ending the bulk collection of telephone metadata and putting in place new rules, really for the first time ever, to protect the rights of foreigners in intelligence collection. And meanwhile, just yesterday, the House passed surveillance reform legislation by a pretty wide margin. In addition to that, the president set up a website in which huge numbers of documents have been declassified to give us insight into the NSA's activities. In fact, more documents have been declassified through that website than were actually leaked by Snowden.
We learned this week, though, via Glenn Greenwald writing for his outlet The Intercept, that there are a few countries in the world where the NSA is recording every phone call. So do you really feel like the leap is taking place kind of at a global level, let's say?
Well, that's really the part of the debate that I think we're just starting to begin to have here in the United States, which is what rules should we have that might be stricter for spying on foreigners? The debate has really been mostly around telephone metadata in the U.S., which is domestic data. That's why it's been controversial. But in general, Americans have kind of shrugged their shoulders a little bit at spying on the world, with the exception of human rights groups and technology companies. So there's been an interesting alliance there where human rights groups kind of feel that there should be rules that protect the rights of everyone and not just Americans. And technology companies have a business interest in doing that.
What is your opinion, Timothy? Do you believe that privacy is a basic human value and a basic human right that should be kind of respected all over the world?
Yes, I do think that privacy is a basic human value and human right that needs to be respected globally. Where the difficulty comes is in how do you adapt those rules to account for the need for countries to engage in intelligence gathering. You know, I think it's naive to think that we're going to live in a world in which we get rid of all intelligence activities, or even a world in which we confine them to just a few subject matter areas. I think, you know, intelligence has a place in terms of providing stability for the international system. And the question is, how can we design rules that protect the rights of everyone to privacy while still allowing needing intelligence to happen?
In your own life, Timothy, how have you changed your habits?
I do the best I can. Like I think most people try, there's small encryption companies that offer solutions. There's other security applications that are just coming online. And as they become more usable, I think it's possible to increase the security of our digital world.
So you haven't put any electrical tape over the camera on your laptop yet?
Well, that is something the NSA actually recommends on its own website. I use my video chat a fair amount, but it is certainly something that I do think about it from time to time.
Can never be too safe, I say. Timothy Yeager from Brown University's Watson Institute. Thank you.
Thank you.